Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. A great Thanksgiving Day show. We're going to get Laszlo Rotfaldy on the line shortly from Ottawa, Canada. In the meantime, let me introduce him. He's the principal of Rotfaldy & Associates, a management consulting firm in Ottawa, Canada. Also an instructor with the Business and Management Programs Department at the University of California, Irvine Extension. Laszlo earned his Bachelor's of Double E, Electrical Engineering, from the University of New Brunswick, and he holds a Professional Engineer, Project Management, and Risk Management designations. He's a past Vice President of Program and Risk Management Office at Allen Vanguard Corporation, and he worked at General Dynamics, the Irving Group of Companies, and SED Systems. Laszlo believes that very few business initiatives today are simple and require little or no project manager to guide them along. Quite to the contrary, those days are way behind us, and today's complex projects require true project management leadership to succeed. Mastering project management leadership, thus, is what makes a project manager truly an outstanding project manager. Laszlo, in fact, has an upcoming book called The Power of Project Management Leadership, Your Guide on How to Achieve Outstanding Results. And he lays out in that book a very critical groundwork and models for creating successful and outstanding PMs. Written in an easy-to-understand, non-technical manner, it's an ideal reference in addition to any project manager's library. Laszlo truly is a leader focused on accountability, leadership, and business success, as you're going to hear shortly. And he's a proven ability to really motivate individuals to step up and meet the challenging objectives. Well, a bird of the same color or feather. Laszlo, welcome to Circles of Change.
Zara, good morning. Thank you for the warm welcome.
You bet.
Pleasure to be here.
You bet it is. And, you know, the two of us are two peas of the pod, having been in the position of being PMs, but also mentoring, coaching others, and then also trying to work with all the functional organizations that typically supply talent to the projects that these people guide. So, again, welcome. Good to have you with us. Well, now, you know, my first introduction with you, of course, was in a special session with Mark Samuel from Impact Corporation, where we're learning and going to take the accountability principles to the next level. And when I hear project management, heard from you immediately the direct line of sight to the whole concept of risk management. Why don't you share with our listeners those two things being so tightly connected?
Well, I think that from a risk perspective, project managers generally don't understand the proper risk and how to approach risk. And one of the reasons why I focus on it greatly is I've sat through probably 300 to 350 project reviews, formal ones, and almost every time we just kind of miss the ball a bit. So what I've done is, just like as you mentioned, very quickly focused and put the dots together and came in the fact that if we actually properly focus on risk, whether it's on a professional or in our personal lives, everything else will fall into place because you just have less to worry about and less surprises.
Well, I think the idea, it's one thing to set out the project plan, which many people do from left to right, but what you end up living it is almost from right to left. In other words, as you run out of time or the unknown unknowns start hitting you, and unless you've dialed in that understanding of proactive recovery or even knowing where you might have to run on less information than what you're used to, that all comes back to that passion you have for risk management.
That's right. And from my experience over the years, is if we actually combine some of the, you know, the key skills that project managers should have, bring in the flavor of leadership, and then really emphasize on risk. And, of course, risk and accountability are very tightly tied together because one requires the other in order to be fully functional. I think you've got a very good recipe to raise the bar for the performance of these project managers that we're out there trying to help.
That's exactly right. But, you know, I oftentimes think that the idea of doing risk management gets a really bad rap. You know, that people think it's more charts and more assigned numbers and values, and it perhaps can overspeak the intuitive or gut feel for people.
Absolutely. And you know what? When it comes to the bad rap, there's a couple of of reasons that I see. First, risk is generally associated with bad use.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then, in fact, in my experience, it's the absolute opposite. Mm-hmm. It's actually something that can be quite a benefit to you. And the second thing is it does require you to think, to plan, and to think out of the box before things occur. And most project managers, and I would say most individuals actually supporting project managers, have a hard time with this. So as far as I'm concerned, is we need to forget the bad rap, right? It's well worth the investment of putting the time in up front.
Well, you know, you're right, though, that when we do risk assessments, it's usually about all the catastrophic things and the things that will go wrong. I wonder what it would look like if we did a risk assessment based on all the things that could go right that would allow us to step faster, further, higher quality, lower cost, or some more balanced perspective of things.
And actually, you hit on a very good point, because the proper definition of risk is it's not only threats. That's a great place to start.
Threats, yeah.
But it also represents opportunity. And we generally don't think of risks as opportunities. So what we need to do is make sure that we actually have a balanced view on risk. And the advice I give to people is for every risk that you raise, make sure you raise an opportunity. Force yourself to raise one and go find one. You'll be amazed at how much actually comes out of all this and how much, you know, success you will have by doing so.
And, you know, I think that's great advice for individuals, not just from the context of your team. So, for example, I've got a client this week who's about to go to a big trade show, and she's waiting on a couple offers from different companies because she's in transition. And she was considering not going to that trade show because she felt maybe I should wait this out. And I said, you know, what's the risk? Because truly what the opportunity is, maybe it's not meant to be that either of those two jobs are going to come your way, but going to this trade show now is actually opening up all those other doors and possibilities for you.
Absolutely, and that's the key point about opportunities, is we sometimes have a hard time wrapping our minds around it, but once you get in the rhythm of actually thinking about opportunities, and you know, this not only applies at work on projects, it also applies in your personal life, I think you're just much more prepared to take on the day, the week, and even the month.
And then deal with the upsets accordingly, because that's just part of the program.
That's right.
Laszlo, perhaps some of our listeners wouldn't be familiar, though, with that term project manager. And that also, even those who might be, this idea that it is a specific leadership role and that there are models that could prompt a higher rate of success than perhaps the typical functional top-down way of operating. Could you explain some of that? Because I know that's really important groundbreaking work and certainly a premise for the new book you're writing.
Well, the way I look at project management, and there are so many definitions out there, but my view of project management and the role of a project manager is to really to plan, manage, and handle details of a project in a way that lets everybody relax.
Yeah, I like that.
Now, a leader, on the other hand, is a little bit different, and I look at it a little bit differently. The true measure of whether or not you are a leader is, in fact, if you have any followers. And following means, as far as the leadership is concerned, that it's done voluntarily. You want to do it. And if you combine the two, which is you're doing all this work to make people relax, and then people want to work for you and with you to help you with that, then you have the ideal combination. As opposed to just saying, I'm going to go to work and work for a project manager. We want to work together and have a team, and we actually want to accomplish great things.
You know, though, I have to suspect that some of our listeners who are on major programs or themselves a project manager, I get this picture of a different PM than perhaps what they're used to. I mean, the idea that the PM would make you relax into your job, usually they're the ones sitting at the head of the table or their fingers on all the dials that have a tendency to accelerate the pressure points on everyone.
And that's really the whole premise behind the material I've been putting together in this model that I refer to as a project management leadership model. It pulls together the key things that project managers need to do. It pulls in the key things that a project manager needs to do from a leadership perspective. And generally, we equate those to soft skills, but I'm going to argue that some of those soft skills now need to become hard skills. We don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. It's just the way that the business world is evolving because we're dealing with change. Change is about people, so we have to be able to handle that as project managers, no matter how big or small your project may be. Then there are two key components that we have to bring out, and these ones are game changers as far as I'm concerned, is we have to have a risk-smart attitude. And we also have to have behavior which is based on accountability. Now, if we can combine those four things, Zara, I think we've got ourselves a really good recipe in creating an outstanding project manager.
But I do say you're still talking about significant behavior shifts amongst people that may have been, you know, cultivated a certain way or been, you know, successfully recognized for a different set of behaviors than what we think will work in the going forward organization, right? I mean, particularly with talent and younger individuals that bring, or younger mindset individuals that are all about, you know, don't tell me the how, just tell me the what, and then step back because I think I can be a more creative way to bring the hows to the party. That's calling for a big shift on people in project management roles, isn't it?
It is, and that's why I think this idea of having a model in place is very, very important, because a model defines, I think, what are considered to be the basics that we've forgotten how to do. If you look at the way that the industry is actually going right now, a lot of the things that are emerging, especially in the area of software, are things that, quite frankly, you and I used to do when we were younger, but we called it something else.
Could you give us an example?
For example, the concept of working with your customer and consulting with your customer on a day-to-day or a frequent frequency, right? That to me is something that I would normally do anyway. But right now we actually call that something else, and it's actually being brought in under the agile project management side of things. But you know what? It's just common sense. So what's happening is, as a result of people working more and more from home and having all these different types of tools, we actually forget the basics. And the emerging set of project managers probably won't even get exposed to those basics unless we take the time to make sure that they do.
You know, another thing to think through, though, is that, at least for your and my generation, we might be dating ourselves a bit, is to get the opportunity to be a program manager, a project manager, or project engineer, there were a lot of other steps you did first before you got that particular role. So in my case, as a mechanical engineer, I know you were a double E, I salute, that you started in each of the different facets that fed the project, for example, in test, in drafting or modeling, in analytical assessment, in the supply chain. So you had some of those foundations such that when you became a program manager, you already knew what were in the different chairs that were going to be feeding into this schedule you created, the risk you were trying to manage, and thus how you were going to motivate, incentivize, and recognize people. What I think we have seen happen quite commonly in organizations is people have skipped some of those fundamental steps, and unless they're very wise to having the senior statesman nearby, they can discount the necessity of knowing that information. And oh, by the way, think they can go to some point-and-shoot software that'll fill in the blank of the real wisdom. So that's where perhaps that loss of the common sense is, that some people may not have had the experience to allow that to be established to start with.
And that's a very good point. And one of the things I'm seeing more and more of is less and less consulting amongst individuals. And one of the key differentiators in my mind from a leadership perspective is the ability for a project or a program manager to actually speak and get opinions from their subject matter experts.
Mm-hmm.
You surround yourself with people that are smarter than you are because you're trying to actually tackle a very difficult program. And just sitting there and actually trying to do it on your own without consulting from others, you're just setting yourself up for failure.
But therein lies probably, as you started, Laszlo, talking about some of the behaviors that have to change or expectations in this leadership model. Because indeed, there was the day that the program manager was, whether it was ego in his own head or how he got recognized by others, as the end-all for end-all knowledge and wisdom about doing things.
That's correct. So right now there has to be a change, whereas if you equate it to a wheel on a bicycle, if you may, whereas a project manager is kind of the hub and the spokes go out to all the different contributors that help the project manager succeed. And that's the key. It's not about I. It's about we. And it's about understanding the hub and all the different elements that you actually touch and how all these individual people actually support you to be successful. And that's where the leadership component comes in. You have to be able to operate in that mode. It's no longer about I. It's about we and what can I do to help my team and my organization succeed.
And I think that's, of course, you know, we spoke earlier about the importance of risk and risk management, and I think honesty to be able to call something truly red and raise your hand and ask for help from others. But let's spend a little bit of time about that word accountability, because I still think many people feel that's something you go do to somebody. You hold them accountable. And you got the chain on their, you know, around their leg, or they're the ones that's in the hot seat. And that's really not what you're positioning whatsoever, is it?
Not at all. No, I'm actually looking at it from a slightly different perspective. Is first of all, when it comes to accountability, it's more about self-accountability first. It's about making sure that whatever plan and whatever actions that we say we're going to do, we're just going to do them. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to go out on a war path and go after individuals to make sure that they're going to do it or not do it and the consequences that come with that. It's more about the positioning of yourself as a leader and saying, I am willing to take on accountability and actually show people that it's okay to do this. And it's been from my experience that if you have a leader that is like that and also has a risk-smart attitude that's wrapped around that, people will generally want to follow that individual. Why wouldn't they? They're setting themselves up for success.
That's right. And that role model and that training to come with it. Laszlo, so you've, at this point, by the way, for those who may have just tuned in, we're speaking with Laszlo Retfalvi, and his website is RETFALVI and Associates.com, based out of Ottawa, Canada. Laszlo, what prompted you at this point in your journey to write a book about these models?
Well, it's two things. One of them is my wonderful wife, Lisa, has always kind of poked at me saying, you've got a book in you.
Enough already, right?
And she's the boss, and she's generally right. But the other thing was more of, I just wanted to share my thoughts and experiences because I've had the opportunity to work with some very, very good project managers, excellent leaders. I've analyzed and I've kept track of what they did and what they didn't do and so forth. And when I did all this and I did the research I did, I realized that there's something missing. There's something missing in all these different things that I've looked at, and that's the fact that we're not really helping the project manager transition from a typical project management or program management role like we would know to somebody who is a full-blown leader that people want to follow.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's a big step. That's a huge step, and it requires confidence to do so. So I decided, well, I'll take my notes and pull it together, and this is where I came up with this model that I'm referring to. And really, the material that I've put together in the book is the model, and how do you compare yourself with the model, and I give you tips and techniques in every area so that you can improve yourself.
You know, if there's one area that certainly, of course, you've watched it now from across the border that we're struggling with here in the United States with our healthcare system, that the whole area of technology project management, and specifically information technology project management, there's no better opportunity than to get a better system and leaders in those roles than now.
Absolutely, because there's been phenomenal growth in that area, even in the last 10, 15 years, perhaps not specifically the one you're speaking about, but there are a lot of other opportunities as well. But as a result of the change that's brought in with that, you have to embrace it. You can no longer avoid it. And this is where you actually need this leadership to allow you to bring in the change that all these IT projects will actually try to do. Again, it's all about change, and you have to be there for the people. Telling somebody what to do is one thing. People wanting to do what you want them to do is a totally different thing.
Well, I think there's another element of challenge that comes on board, too, here, and that is technology thinking you're automating everything, and that by sitting at a desk, typing up emails, or people looking at management dashboards, that's going to tell you really what's going on. So what you're also intonating here is that it's a shift of behavior, but in some ways it's circling back to how we all benefited from great supervisors, leaders of the past, and that was, you know, eyeball-to-eyeball touch time.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the worst things, even though it's really nice and it's great and it helps us, one of the worst things ever invented as far as a project manager is concerned is email, because everybody just wants an instantaneous response everybody's problem is urgent and so forth.
Right.
And you know, going back to checking in with people and walking around, what we refer to as management as walking around, are things that have to come back into the fold because people need that motivation to get the job done.
Well, I think the other thing is you started out earlier in our discussion here talking about that you've sat through 300 program reviews, as I have at least, and probably personally had to present at countless as well, is that, you know, if you're presenting your problems at the reviews, or if that's where they're coming up, that's where the fatal flaw is. And that how do we create an environment where people can, you know, trust you, as well as tap into other leaders in the organization that are all championing your project in a certain way, that make the right decisions to trade off so you can manage the risk. It all comes back to that.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I stress that project managers need to do is they need to foster an environment which is safe to discuss risk and project problems. By the time you get to a program review or something like that, it should be at that point already known, and you should be presenting the solution, not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is we're not taking the time to make the discussions that need to occur to be safe. It's okay to discuss issues. That's why we're here. But project managers need to make sure that they create an environment which is safe, and it encourages the proper behaviors that we're looking for, especially in the area of risk-taking.
I would also think, too, that your new book, which is called, by the way, for our listeners, The Power of Project Management Leadership, Your Guide to How to Achieve Outstanding Results, is also a roadmap for other leaders that are supporting our program managers. So in terms of behavior sets, there's nothing worse than when you have a review board and truly the people that are attending are really there to grill you more than they are to help you.
Oh, absolutely. We all hate the grilling, even though we have to go through it to kind of get better at what we do. But the thing that's really interesting about project reviews is all these other disciplines around them, and I'm going to use the word practitioners for a minute,
exactly.
All these practitioners that are actually sitting there around the project manager, their role is to help. Their role is not to actually cause any grief. And that's very, very important for people to recognize. And that's one of the things that this model does. It actually puts everybody on the same page. There's no reason why, for example, an operations manager would not react the same way as a project manager would. We all have to be on the same page. And for those of us, and I'm sure you've gone through, Zara, it's every organization is inconsistent on what you're looking for in the behaviors in project managers.
You're right. That's
and as
exactly
a result
right.
of that, as a result of that, you know what? People just really downplay it. And that was really my aim with this model, is just keep it nice and simple and hit the big ticket items that are in fact required to raise you to that next level of performance.
And I think also from what you've said too, Laszlo, is that your principles here apply to small, simple organizations and projects as well as large ones. It also relates to nonprofit organizations, public service opportunities, as well as in the commercial side of the business, which can sometimes be a little bit more driven by the dollars and cents. Well, Laszlo Retfalvi, thank you so very much. Again, for our listeners, it's Retfalvi and Associates. We're going to look forward to his new book coming out here shortly, The Power of Project Management Leadership, Your Guide on How to Achieve Outstanding Results. Have a great balance of the weekend, Laszlo, and thanks so much for joining us.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.